I want people to feel okay making decisions about their own body, how whatever decisions, as long as it's not like impacting other people, because then you have to get consent and all of that. But like, you know, if it's just like you want to put a zigzag down there and some like spikes, I don't know, like whatever.
some beware spikes,
whatever you want to do, like go for it.
This is the Radicals and Revolutionaries Lab. I'm Jillian Foster. This is the show that asks, what does feminism even look like? What do these power bitches do? Where do these provocateurs come from? And how can we get more of that glow? Join us as we dive into feminist awakenings and work that refuses to obey the rules.
Hi, I'm Shanthony Exum, also known as Miss Eves. I'm a rapper, a graphic designer, a street style photographer, and a paper mache artist.
Fantastic. So let's start with your work. What are you working on at the moment? You put out new videos and new music in an ever-increasing pace, it seems. So I'm actually not even sure what you're working on at the moment, because I think you just released stuff.
It's like wild. So what am I working on from a music perspective or from a design? Okay, so...
Because I feel like all your work like weaves together.
Right.
So for me, it's like less about the individual pieces, more about like you as a person. What are you pursuing?
Well, my day job is still being a graphic designer, but like I've been able to shift my whole business to like 90% working with social justice organizations, nonprofits, like think tanks, things that really align with my values. So right now I'm working on like some of the clients I'm working with is a professor at Northwestern University, designing his website. I'm doing the annual report for North Star Fund, which is a really big nonprofit that funds smaller nonprofits, and they're based out of New York. I'm working with an organization called Repro Jobs. They're working
like
for
reproductive justice jobs?
Yeah, jobs. Yeah, exactly. Ah. So just working for like pay equity and like helping people have like better workplaces within these reproductive justice jobs. I'm doing some like work and infographics and illustrations for them.
What about music stuff? When we first started talking just now, you were mentioning a tour coming up.
Yeah, so I'm going on tour next month in November. I don't know what time this is going to come out. So in November of 2019, yeah. I'm going on a tour. I have a lot of friends now that help me book it, but normally it's like, so it's partially DIY booked and partially booked by this really cool feminist collective. And
It's like a feminist
Dresden.
Collective.
Of just, there's feminists
like
who
tour
put on.
Coordinators? Or?
No, they're not necessarily tour coordinators, but they help me because they're like my friends now. But it's called Boson Gemein. My German is really bad.
It's called Evil and Mean.
Yeah, it's a German.
Oh, it's like a German company or collective?
It's
or?
A German feminist collective called Boson Gemein. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but it's called Evil and Mean. That's like how it translates.
Amazing.
And they're really awesome. So they put together 5 dates for me because I was invited by this really awesome feminist rapper to perform at her gala, Suki. I'm performing at her gala. And
where's the gala at?
In Berlin. And so then my friends, they arranged 5 other dates for me leading up to that.
Yeah.
And then I worked with another like anarchist feminist collective in Amsterdam to get a show there. And I'm working with another like women's music group in Ghent to play a show there. Cause I'm also decided while I was in Europe, I was going to take French, immersive the French class. Cause I've been studying French for the past 4 years and I'm at an intermediate level, but I was like, to level up, I should do just like immersion. So it's like, I'm already in Europe. So let me just go like take French for 2 weeks intensively.
Amazing.
And see if that improves it at
Why
all.
Why did you start learning French? I can't remember this. In my brain, all I have is like, oh, Shanthony's starting to learn French, but I don't know why.
I have like maybe 6 years ago. Life is going by so fast.
we're
so
slowly
long.
Getting old.
It's like, yeah, or quickly. So 6 years ago, I was working with a Belgian DJ and we were like tour together and he speaks French as his first language. And all of the friends that I met through him speak French. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to learn French so I can speak to these friends. And it was super challenging because it's like just something I'm doing on top of all of my
also,
work.
French, I think French is so challenging for
it's
Americans
really
to learn. Like the pronunciation I find.
And the gendering.
Unreal. Yeah.
Yeah.
The gendering and the pronunciation. I'm so bad at pronunciation. Even in English, I'm bad at pronunciation.
Right. So, yeah. So now I'm like, been really serious about it. I got all the apps. I have like a private tutor. I like lived in Montreal for a while. So it's like, at first, I didn't feel like it was making a difference. But now I'm like, okay, I actually can speak French. Like, I understand when people are speaking French to me. Like, I might not understand everything, but we can have like a basic conversation. It's not going to be talking about our hopes and dreams and like the depths of our soul, but you know, we can talk about, you know, how was your day? Like make a little silly joke so I can handle that kind of level. Hopefully I'll level up in this French class. So that's what I'm working on. I'm just also writing some songs just as they come to me. I just released a remix with one of my friends, Carl, that he made for my song, Bush for the Push, about pubic hair. So we just put that out.
I love
out,
that like, song. I really like the beat in the background of that song.
Thank you.
Like, Keisha made it. It's really like fun and good to dance to.
Yeah, Keisha's so talented. She made that track, the original track. Carl did the remix. We just put it out. It's doing like super well. So I'll just keep seeing where that goes. I'm trying to think, what else am I working on? I'm making a giant paper mache phone. Like a Dr. Seuss.
Is that for another video or
I was thinking for a photo shoot because I like to have the photo shoots be like super art directed because I'm an art director. So I want it to be like really colorful and poppy. So that's for that or just and also just for fun and stress relief.
Yeah, it's good stress relief.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I sent my niece is 5 years old and I sent a video to her because we communicate through videos. And I was like, hey, when I go to visit you next, do you want to like do an art class or something? Like we could do some art at home or we could take a class. And she emailed me back and she goes, because I told her, I was like, you know, I'm really stressed. I think art could be nice. And she goes, yes, art is very good for stopping to worry about the issues of the world.
Oh my gosh, so wise.
Right?
So wise. How old is she?
5.
Oh my gosh, like, so wise.
Oh, so cute.
Wow.
Your comment made me think of that.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, it's good because it's just like I'm completely focused. It's like meditation.
Yeah.
Because you're just completely focused and immersed in your activity. Like before you came over, I was also updating my photo blog because I like moved from Tumblr, Tumblr is
dead. What's wrong with Tumblr?
Tumblr, they got rid of all the porn on Tumblr. So sex shamey. They got rid of all the porn because of
In like a giant sweep to like get rid of white nationalists
get rid of sex work.
Oh, they just like full on.
So they like flushed out all the porn from Tumblr, which is like what? Like other than my blog and porn, no one else is using Tumblr for anything else. And so I was like, now this is a dead platform. So I like migrate it like manually. Or no, I found an app. I mean, not an app, but a plugin.
Yeah.
To upgrade all of my content from Tumblr to WordPress.
Okay.
But now I was like having to just like go in and update like the new posts because I like post on Instagram and I'm like, okay, let's make sure everything's consistent.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think anyone's going to that website, I'm just like still like one day someone will
what's
go.
What's the website?
The Everybody Project.
Oh, I think people go to it. I see your Instagram. What's your Instagram handle for it?
The Everybody Project.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's like, I remember when this was like, it was the thing you were doing for a number of years, but it was more just kind of like an idea and something you were pursuing for fun. And you're still clearly doing it for fun.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's become really almost like professionalized in a way. Like it's beautiful.
Thank you. I mean, I feel like because I was a self-taught photographer.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to do this project. That's why I taught myself. And then I'm like, oh, I actually am getting good at taking photos of people. And so the portraits, I feel like they're like popping now. Website is kind of just like basic, but it's just like all you need because when you have
the
like
photos,
the photos are what's going to shine. So
also it speaks to a vein that's throughout your work. It seems to me that your every body project, meaning like literally every physical body is welcome, seems to weave throughout the videos that you produce. And I don't think I was really aware until I was doing research. I knew this, but like it was really in the back of my brain that you also directed your videos.
Yeah.
Shanthony, the videos are so fucking good.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I can't believe that you starred, like you wrote the music, you worked with producers, you then produced the video, like you directed the video, like everything.
Right.
You're doing all of this.
I'm doing all of it. And part of it's out of necessity because I don't want to just like wait around for someone to help me. I'm like, okay, let me just pull myself up. Because that's what I had to do with the tours, like the first couple of Europe tours. I completely booked them myself.
Yeah.
And then I like meet people and then I get help. But it's just like, I feel like I need to take that first step.
Yeah, of course.
And then I can get the help when people are like, oh, I like you, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, with the videos, I always want to direct them because I like directing them and it's fun and I have so many ideas. But I like to co-direct too with people because that way it's really hard to direct myself when I'm in front of the camera.
Yeah, I've actually never really understood how people do that either.
Yeah, so I normally will have like a co-director and it's like also cool to have someone during the like pre-production process to like bounce ideas off of and say like, oh yeah, this is what I'm thinking and they'll enhance my ideas and I'll like, we'll both be bringing stuff to the table. So that's really what I like. But the last video I released on online dating, I did that completely myself, but it was super guerrilla. I was like, I got $2,000. We're going to have to make twerk this out. like $2,000 for the whole thing.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Let's just make it happen.
Amazing. So let's go back in time. I want to know kind of where this scrappiness, where this artistic kind of vein began. So where are you from originally?
Oh, I'm from North Carolina. I've always been super into art. My parents were really supportive. Like, I was that kid that was, like, in dance class, took piano lessons, took, like, paint, like, private art, instruction.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. And so my mom was, like, really good at just, like, you know, my parents, my dad, too, like, paying for, like, extracurriculars.
Yeah,
and,
like, they, like, infused your life right, with the art
which
stuff.
Is really good. And I, like, told my parents, I think I was, like, teen, and I was, like, I want to be an artist when I grow up. And they're, like, that's fine. I think most, especially, like, a lot of times, Black parents, they won't tell their kids that they can be an artist because they want to have a more like stable job. Because being an artist does not seem, especially right. for my parents' generation. My parents are baby boomers. Yeah. And so they like were around when there was like segregation and it was even hard for Black people to get their like foot in the door, you know?
So they're like, why would you choose this right. incredibly hard path?
But my parents like, didn't say that. They said, you know, as long as you don't ask us for money, which I feel like that was a good middle ground. They're like, you can do what you want, but like, don't ask us for money. Take care of yourself and be a responsible adult. And I was like, that's cool. And I think that helps me, like having that information of just, okay, like I can do what I want, but I have to be serious about it because I'm not going to be able to just like constantly like have this like piggy bank that's like mom and dad.
Yeah, I have a friend. She and I both talk about how there seems to be this kind of drive in people who explicitly do not have parental financial support
right.
to like just kick their own ass and yeah. make things happen. And they become almost more scrappy through the process
because right.
they know there's like not a great deal of safety net.
Right. And I know that too, like, I mean, my parents ultimately, at the end of the day, if something happened, they would have my back or sure. whatever. But it was just like that good like push to be like, okay, you don't, because like my mom, for instance, what I meant by like the comment before, my mom's always wanted to be, I think, like a therapist or a nutritionist. She is a therapist now, but both of her parents, just because they're like, this is more stable, you need to be an engineer.
Oh,
you know,
really?
So they pushed yeah. her into a different field and it was out of love. It wasn't like, oh, we're trying to make you unhappy. It was just like, we just want you to do something that's going to be stable where you can right. have money. You can like have a good like life.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, that seems like a really common trend, not only like generationally, but also with anyone who, like people of color, communities right. of color, as right. well as immigrants, right. right? Like go path of least resistance, if you will, to like create stability.
Stability.
And multi-generational stability.
Especially since like institutions are like destabilizing your life at every level.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like, okay, we're fighting against like segregation in all fronts. It's like, of course, we want you to have this path where you have like a very stable life.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Are you an only child?
Yeah, I am. So maybe that, I don't know why my parents were different. Or maybe too, because my mom was pushed into a career that she didn't want to do. She didn't want to repeat that pattern with me. I'm not sure. Like,
maybe I wonder if it's because without knowing all the details, it seems like your parents achieved a great deal of stability,
yes.
financial stability, and they have a spot and kind of a foundation. And so that means perhaps that they were able to kind of loosen up a bit and
I
say
think
like,
that
you
might
know,
be it.
Do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they both were engineers for like my whole childhood. So that was like an incredibly like stable job, you yeah. know, like well-paying job. But I am glad they were like, okay, you can be an artist, but then like, this is going to date me and make me seem like super old. But like, this is like the internet was there. There's like AOL and all that stuff, but you didn't really use it for research. There was a
right.
book in the library of like all the careers. And like, I went to the library. It was like this giant book. It was probably like
off of one of those personality test things. Or?
No, it was just like an occupational handbook. And like literally oh. like every job you can go by like category, like medical jobs, art jobs, all of this. And I remember going to the library and going through and being like, what job will pay me well and what still let me be an artist? And I was like, oh, graphic designer. That's interesting. And so then I like oh. found the programs. Like I already knew by the time I was like a senior in high school, like exactly what I wanted to do, where I was going to go, like all of that, because I had to research it. My mom was like, you have to be serious. You have to join a museum. You have to know who your favorite artist is. You have to like,
oh my gosh, your mom, did it.
Okay. She was not playing around. She was just like, all right, if you want to be this artist, you will not just sit on our couch and like say that you're going to draw something and never make a thing. You need to be serious. You need to be educated, you know? So it's like, all right, you know, I can be an artist with like boundaries. And I think that's like, carried out throughout my career.
What do your parents think about your work now?
Well, I think there was a moment where they just ignored it because they were just like, oh, this is out there. But I went to High Point University to give a lecture. I think this was like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And my dad went and he's like, wait, why didn't you tell me you made all this art and this work? You've done so much. And I'm like, yeah, because y'all have kind of been checked out because it doesn't really align with their Christian values, right. Like my messages. But now I think they're a little bit more open, especially once like Thunder Thighs blew up. And I like, because I used to kind of like hide stuff from them because yeah. I was like, I can either censor myself or just like protect them from what they see.
And so perhaps I decided, it's easier if they don't know.
Yeah. So I kind of decided that. But then when I was like making a music video to go in the New York Times and like things that were bigger, that was like, I probably can't like really hide this because someone from their church who like is my friend on Facebook will bring it up. So right. I was just like, okay, I need to start sharing my work. Yeah. So I was like, let me start sharing my work again. And it's been like, we have like a way better relationship than we like used to as far as like being open with each other, which I'm like really grateful for. But yeah, for a while I would just like, I'm not going to share this with them because I don't think they're going to approve. But now I'm like, I'm an adult. Like if they don't approve, that's like fine. That's their prerogative as adults to not approve.
Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, I think it takes so much time. I still feel like I'm in this like evolution of realizing that like my parents' life is not my life. Like their path is not necessarily my right. path, you right. know? It's a really, I feel like that's such a hard lesson to learn.
Right.
And it weaves together with my next question about religion stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you mentioned it a little bit. Did you grow up religious?
Yeah, I did. I grew up Baptist. So that was like, I mean, now I'm just agnostic.
Yeah.
And that was like super challenging too. Cause like for the first, like, cause I started making music 10 years ago. And for the first 2 years, I wouldn't curse at all just cause I was like so scared of like offending my parents or anything. But yeah. I was like, wait, I curse in my real life. Like, I should like kind of, you know, like make this work reflect how I actually feel and not trying to like placate anyone. Cause it, I mean, it was like fun, but it was like a little watered down just yeah. because I was censoring myself.
Right. It was like not your true yeah. essence coming out.
Exactly.
Tell me about like your own religious path. I'm curious, like moving from a childhood where you are religious and actively
right.
kind of like performatively religious and now into this agnostic space and also like uber feminist space as well.
Right. Well, I think the beginning, like when I was religious, it was kind of always like a weird relationship with religion. It was like scary, like I'm going to be punished. It was doing something not out of love, but out of fear.
I think
you
that's
know?
Common in a lot of yeah. religious spaces.
And yeah. so I was just like, okay. So I wanted to move away from that fear dynamic just as I got to know more people, like, and understand myself more, understand, like, just more things. I'm yeah. like, I have to move away from this because it's not even really aligned with my values and I need to move away from the fear of burning in hell forever. You know?
Not to be blunt, but burning in hell.
Yeah. I will just have to embrace that. Yeah. Maybe it will be a barbecue. Yeah. There'll be some snacks and,
I hope there's
you know,
good
lots
chips.
Of shirtless people. Because it's so hot. So I'm like, ooh, yeah. pass me some booze because this is hell. So I can get a little wild.
Amazing.
I had to move past that fear. And I like explored. There was a moment when I was questioning my faith that I would try to go. I was trying to go to see a bunch of different religions. Like I went to Baha'i service. I went to a Unitarian service. Mm. I wanted to go to a mosque, but I was in North Carolina then. And so it was just like a little bit. There are mosques where I was in North Carolina, but I think it was just like harder for me at that time to figure out a way to like respectfully go in that space.
Right.
I just wanted to like explore everything. I like start reading about Buddhism and I still like practice some tenets of Buddhism. But it was just like me like expanding my horizon and trying to learn as much about like other people's religions that weren't my religion. I like went to India, like in India is like really great.
I didn't know that you went to India.
Yeah. It was like, I feel like everyone kind of respects each other's religions in some ways. And maybe that's wrong, but like I was staying with a family.
This was like during undergrad or this is?
No, this was after. It was with Rotary Club. So it was
oh,
like.
Oh girl, I went on a scholarship to Rotary.
Yeah.
Well, a scholarship to the UK through Rotary.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah. So we like, my family, they weren't Christian, but like we like lit a candle at a Christian church and then like we would go to like a temple and it was just like, it just
Ooh,
seemed
so
like
nice.
Acknowledging that there's all these other religions that exist and it wasn't from the background that I grew up with and this like almost evangelical background where it's like, these people are wrong. They're going to hell. You might go to heaven if you play your cards right, you know? And it was just like, oh, wow, okay, there is a way to like coexist with a bunch of different religions.
Have you found it easy as you've like over the years kind of like found your own path or kind of grown further away from that original religious upbringing? Have you found it easy to make your own path?
Sometimes I just like don't think about it. Like I'm like pretty spiritual. But I think as far as like being religious, I don't know, wouldn't even consider it a, being a path. Maybe it's just like being a feather that's like floating.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah. So I just, I'm not like necessarily walking in a way. I'm just kind of like, okay, this seems good. I like this and like floating around. But I like really, I went to this Quaker church and I was like, I was super into that. Like I thought.
You know, every person who I've ever met that's a Quaker has been a really solid human.
Yeah.
Like super nice, good person.
And you're like meditating services basically. Yeah. And like everyone kind of has this floor to speak and just about like simplicity. Like I really liked a lot of the tenets of like Quakerism. So I don't know. I just kind of like follow. I mean, I'm trying to like meditate hella and like.
Meditation is super good for you.
Yes.
Even if it's not like religiously oriented, like the time to just take a, like a pause, and I think is present. Really good for you.
Yeah. And yeah. Just focus on being present. Cause I think a lot of times my anguish comes from not being present. Cause I like have anxiety. I like beat myself up all the time. I'm like, oh, this could be this way. But it's cause I'm like either stuck in the past or fretting about the future. But whenever I'm present, that's like when I'm happy. So yeah. Meditation helps me to bring me back to that present moment. So I'm trying.
How long have you been meditating for?
For like 2 years. And I try. Ooh. Yeah, but sometimes it's not like daily. Like now I have the app, Headspace app. Have
oh, I like heard that. Of that? Yeah, I like that app.
I like the app because too, it doesn't take that much time. It's like 10 minutes. And you're like, okay, I'm meditating. Cool. It calms me down. Like I can feel when the panic's coming on and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to take a pause and like meditate. And I feel like prayer is like meditation. It's all kind of similar veins, you know?
Yeah, I think definitely prayer is definitely a form of meditation.
Yeah.
Do you think that this kind of moments of pause, being present, helps to, or is infused in your work? I guess like if not, or any, like what's driving your work? Because your work is super, it has it like a really strong voice and it's really like pleasing and feisty. It also tackles difficult topics, you know,
right.
Like what is driving that?
Well, I mean, I feel like a lot of my work, a lot of my songs, I'm writing them for myself because it's just like, oh, I need to hear this message. You know, it's not like I'm this like super enlightened person that's like, yes, embrace, you know, because like sometimes I have like serious body image issues or I like have like struggles with like feeling rejected in like romance. And I'm like, okay, this is a song that I need to hear. This is my way of processing these feelings to like get to a like healthier space where I'm not like so bothered by the situation that's completely out of my control.
Right.
Or these systems, like how can I like, these systems are like bugging the F out of me. Like how can I like refocus that energy into something more productive or to something where I can understand my feelings more. So I like to journal like every day about like one topic. And then I'm like, oh, maybe this one day this will be a song. I'm like, okay, today I'm journaling about gentrification. Today I'm journaling about like farting and like trying to hold it in. Like why? Yeah. Like when you're gassy and you're like, ugh. You know, and I just try to be as like real as possible in my work and not like censor myself and not try to make it cool. Just be like, this is how I'm feeling and trying to like accurately represent that. And I feel like that helps a lot.
Yeah, it seems like hearing like your story, your like life story and your history and knowing your work and knowing you, it seems like along the way, there's been this path of like kind of blossoming, more like kind of opening or blossoming in a way that's like your true self or your true essence or vibe is coming out. And because it's like it's always been there.
Right.
But it's this process of like perhaps kind of unfolding the layers to reveal the diamond inside.
I definitely feel more myself now than I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
So I'm just like do an incredible amount of like processing and thinking about things deeply and just like figuring out exactly how I feel and like also addressing like patterns that I have that maybe aren't so healthy and trying to like make them into like more healthy patterns or more healthy ways of doing things and like communicating with people and just like expressing myself and not being so ashamed. Like I'm trying not to be like shame, like letting go of shame is like a huge thing.
That is so hard to do.
It's so hard, but it's like so freeing when you're like, nothing that about me, I'm not ashamed about it because even if you say it's a bad thing, this is part of my story and my history. And it's like, I'm not going to like hide.
What are some of the things that you grapple with the most around shame?
I think there's a lot of like body shame, a lot of like sex shame, a lot of like stigma. Like I was sexually assaulted when I was in college and a lot of things that happened around that time gave me a lot of like hangups and like shame and like
I mean,
fear,
yeah.
You know? And so it's like just acknowledging that was a horrible thing that happened to me, you know, and it wasn't anything that I did wrong, you know? Being like kind to myself, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think there's something about navigating the world as a woman that is like shameful. And then also like, I mean, I can't, I can only, you know, summarize or even like hint at the experience not being a woman of color, right?
Right.
But like the simultaneous woman of color, like this carries a lot.
Even aging as a woman, and like sometimes want to like fall into that. I'm like, you know, it's fine. But then there's so much pressure for you to just like remain frozen in this like time of your life when you don't even know that much about yourself. People want you frozen looking like that, you know?
Like they want you frozen at like 18, 19. I'm like, do you realize I'm a completely different person?
I'm so different than I was when I was 18 or 19. And it's like, everyone has value. And I do feel like older people should listen to younger people. Younger people should listen to other people. We should all be in conversation with each other. But to expect my face to be frozen and my body to be frozen at this time, it just doesn't seem fair. And there's like a lot of like fear. Like sometimes I'm like, I have fear and shame around that. And like,
around aging.
Yeah. And it's like programmed, you know, because my friends are going through it too. And it's just like programmed in us. Like, this is BS. And so like a lot of my work is too like, identifying these things in my mind that maybe aren't even mine, that have been just like put in my head by society.
Oh, yeah.
And like shedding those and confronting those and being like, okay, this is not something I want to.
Oh, yeah. This definitely speaks to my experience. It's like being brainwashed for your whole life on multi levers. You know, it's like patriarchy uses multiple tools to like just fucking brainwash the hell out of us.
Right.
And it's slowly but surely like untangling that mess and realizing, oh, wait, that was a lie. Like, oh, wait, that doesn't hold up to actual like lived experience and evidence. Like, this is not reality.
And also, people too, that I'm in control of myself. Like, I don't like just because people say like, oh, you're too old to do this. No, everyone you've known before might have been too old to do this, but I'm making my own way. Like, I can create my own paths, and it's not like I don't have to like follow just because something hasn't been done before. It doesn't mean that I have to do it, you know, like, or you have to settle down. You have to do this, like all these expectations, kind of peeling those back have just made me feel like a lot more free.
Do you ever find it hard to define or to orient yourself on the path that you want to take, given that you're like, no, I don't have to follow the rules. No, I don't have to follow your like made up shit. I'm going to do my own thing, which means you have so many options, right?
Right, right.
So then I find that to be sometimes kind of like anxiety producing because I'm like, shit, I have so many options. I don't know which one to do. So how do you kind of like orient yourself? Because you have clear direction. You are clearly directing your path.
Right. I mean, I guess I just feel like because growing up in such a religious background, you have so many restrictions. Just like shedding those was only freedom for me, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was just like, okay, I don't have any of this stuff like weighing me down. I can just do what I want to do. And even now I still have things where I'm like, I can't do it because of this or that or whatever. But I'm like, no, like get past that and keep pushing. Like even when I have this like really damaging self-talk in my head, just keep pushing. And it's not overwhelming because of course I can't do everything, you know? Like
there's
only
human limits.
Many hours in the day. You know, so I'm just like, okay, I'll just choose to do this. Okay, I'm going to do these three things today. I like making lists. I always have like a list going where I'm like checking things off and adding things on because I'll forget if I don't add it. But I'm like, I want to do this. It goes on the list and it might like get done in like a year or it might get done in 2 years, but it's like, it's on the list.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to look at it. I love lists. For some reason, I love lists so much that making lists actually makes me feel less anxious.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, I got myself together a little.
And it's also out of your mind. You don't have to carry it around with you. Because like when I put something on a list, like if someone emails me, they need me to do something, it instantly goes on the list. Because I don't want to carry that around with me all day. I want to focus on whatever else I have going on. And then when I have like time, like in space in my day, I go back to the list and see what's the most urgent and like plug that in.
And what kind of, do you use like an app for your list? Or do you like
just
physically
Google Tasks.
Oh, boom. All right.
Yeah. And it's like embedded in my Gmail. So I'm just like, the list is right here. I'll just...
Amazing. You're very organized.
I'm so organized. It's like so type A. But I have like, sometimes I like will need something and I'll like find it exactly right away because I'm so organized. I'm like, Pash Anthony, you my girl.
Thank you. Thank you, Pash Anthony.
Thank you, Pash Anthony, for being on your type A shit.
So what do you see for future Shanthony? What kind of like bricks are you laying now for future Shanthony?
Well, that's the thing. I was like been talking to my therapist about. I don't really make goals. Which is a thing.
Oh, like, really?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, that really surprises me. You strike me as someone who's really like, right, my goals for this year are blah, blah,
no,
blah.
No, I never make big goals. I just like have things I want to do. So I'm like, okay, I want to make this video and then I'll make goals within that project. But I'm never like, I try not to make goals that are based off of external things. Like I want to be this successful or I want to have this. I want to do this because that's out of my control. But if I'm like making this project, I know I can like okay, first I'm going to make this giant paper mache sandwich. Okay, I need to make the cheese, the tomatoes, and the bread. Okay, this is the goal, you know? But like, as far as like long-term goals, I kind of just let that path be open.
That is really brave of you, I have to say. As someone who clings, as discovered through many years of therapy at this point, as someone who clings myself to, I can just like admit it, external validation, right?
Right.
Like,
I mean, we all do. Right. We all do.
Like, my clinging to external validation is to an absurd level. And it's like, I can't untangle why to do this. But hearing you say, like, I don't set long-term goals. I'm not trying to seek the external goals. I'm like, man, that's a really nice way to look at things.
I mean, of course I still love validation. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone struggles with that. That's just like one of the struggles of my life. But as far as like the goals, I just realized it's always setting myself up to being like, oh, I'm going to have 50,000 follows by like January. Okay, but then what if they don't? Then does that mean I failed? No, it just means that like people just didn't click the button.
Right.
That's it.
You know, something that I've always really admired about your work and you is it, and it's actually related to this. It's you are putting out work that you find valuable.
Yeah.
That you like feel like the world needs and that is valuable to yourself. And by default, it's quite valuable to others as well.
Right.
But it's like you're doing it because the work itself needs to get out, not because it's like, I want to have like a crown and be famous or
exactly.
whatever.
And I'm trying to always like shift to that mentality because it is sometimes distracting where I'll like look and I'm like, I didn't accomplish this, or I'm not like this good. But
like,
then
refresh Twitter, refresh.
Right. And I like lock myself out of social media usually during the day. Like,
oh, good idea.
Yeah. Because I noticed that I would like get into this addiction habit of checking social media just to seek that like validation burst. And then you just get in this like weird habit and it's like waste a lot of time. So I like lock myself out of these like social platforms during the day. And then it's like cool because then when I check it at night, there's like, ooh.
All these people.
All these people talking to me. and because it's like not that productive. So I try to like limit that. But I mean, I think the more, and I'm still, it's always a work in progress. I don't know, like maybe even when I'm dead, I won't get away from the validation cycle. But I am trying to
do. While at the barbecue burning in hell, I'll be checking Twitter.
Yeah, we have the hot dog one hand, Twitter in the other hand. Yeah. It's just like, you know, I am Twitter in hell. That's kind of, that should be a play. Yeah. I like really the more I get away from it and like me and my therapist are like talking about that a lot more, is just like the happier I am, you know? So that is like, I mean, that is a goal, I guess. To like not need validation.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge goal, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because just understanding it, I find it really hard to like intellectually grasp this weird animalistic need for the external validation.
Well,
because
we're animalistic social animals. Weird, no, we're like, social animals. Yeah. We want this validation in the group, and then social media has hacked our brains because they just want us to be on the apps as long as possible so they can advertise to us as long as possible. It's all like so evil when you think about it in the terms of like capitalism.
Yeah.
Like they're just trying to like occupy as much space in our brains as possible through using our friends and content that we might like, but it's like not altruistic. They're not like, we just want to connect you. They want to get our data and they want to like get in our brains and like buy it, sell us stuff. It's where we buy stuff.
And you know what I find is that there's this like, you feel satiated, but not satisfied, right? It's like you've had a bite of the cookie, but you still want the whole fucking cookie.
Yeah.
Like you're just after it always.
There's never enough likes. And that's like, I was talking to my friend who's also a musician about it. And then sometimes I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't feel like wildly successful. And she's like, if I was at your level, I'd be so happy. And I'm like, you know what? It's never enough.
Exactly.
I mean, even if you're at like a super high level, I think you're still going to just want to go higher. So
it's so gross.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm trying to get away from, that need, and like just completely focus on the work. Like, I'm just going to make this work because this is the work that I'm making. And I just want to top myself, not through anyone else's eyes, but through my own eyes, like keep improving and keep being curious and keep being open and keep being receptive and like learning and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think what has happened, at least, you know, as a kind of consumer of the things that you produce, of the art that you are making, as someone who's consuming the product, then for me, what's happening is that you're like tapping into this really deep inside kind of like integral feeling that you're having, but then also it speaks to others in a way. Like it speaks to me. Like I listened on the way over, I was listening to the Bush song.
Oh yeah. Bush for the Push.
Bush for the Push. Okay. So it's so good. Not only is the message great, but like the beat itself is really fun.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that? Like what's the backstory?
Keesh made that beat. But
I love that beat.
I always wanted to make dance music. I just like love dance music. So ever since I've been making music, it's like it has to, if people aren't dry humping, then I failed. That's like, yeah. I guess that's my metric. It's like, if no one's like grinding on something, it could be on a chair, I failed. But with that song, I felt like, because after Thunder Thighs blew up, I kind of had this like feeling that I could never write a song again, you know, because it was so much pressure, because everyone was like, write another Thunder Thighs, like, okay, write Thunder Thighs. And I like wasn't used to that level of success.
You're like, holy shit.
And it was like, freaked me out, and I kind of shut down for a little bit. So I wrote a song about being single. That was like the first song I wrote, Paper Mache, after Thunder Thighs. But Bush for the Push was the second song, and I was also like having a little bit of writer's block. I texted my friend Richard, who like produces a lot of my tracks too, and I was like, I have writer's block. And then I was like, oh wait, I just wrote this song about getting waxed. I went to the European Wax Center and I just wanted to try something new. I was like,
do you normally get waxes? Like, were you previously?
No, I mean, I'm trying new things. I'm always trying new stuff. Yeah, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll like a little wax. And then like, as I just wanted a little like clean up on the side, and then this is exactly what happens in the song. And then like, they love, at the European Wax Center, they love to push a full Brazilian. They're like, No, you should get this. It's better for you. And then I'm like, okay, I'll just try this new. They like took hair off my asshole.
Oh yeah, they take every ounce of
it. It was like every on my asshole. All the farts just had nowhere to go, nothing to catch them, no little hairs to catch them. It was just the butt cheeks just rumbling around. And I was just like, oh,
it's a level of nudity that is like, you cannot get more nude.
It was so next level nudity. And I was like, all right, this is a song here. So I just started writing about what happened. And I was like, oh, this is funny. Cause I think like, cause I'm like definitely pro like body autonomy, and people should be able to do whatever they want. If they want to like wax, I don't think that's anti-feminist. I think you should just wax, just like do whatever. Then I like turned the song into like, oh, well, you know, whatever you really want to do is your body. Like, just do what you want. It's your hair.
Don't pressure people to get a fucking Brazilian.
Don't pressure people. No, please don't do that. But also don't pressure people to have a full bush, and that's not what they want. You know, it's just like, I want people to feel okay making decisions about their own body. Whatever decisions, as long as it's not like impacting other people, because then you have to get consent and all of that. But like, you know, if it's just like you want to put a zigzag down there and some like spikes, I don't know, like whatever.
Some beware spikes,
whatever you want to do, like go for it. So that's kind of where that song came from. It was like my own experience. And then I was just like thinking deeply about like my pubic hair and like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, like this is kind of what happened to me.
What about the Thunder Thighs song, which was also, you know what I really loved about Thunder Thighs is actually the video itself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Push for the Bush, I found like, okay, I would like dance to this. Right. Like, this is just fun to listen to. But the Thunder Thighs song, I actually would prefer to watch the video while listening to it, because awesome. I like the video itself so much. Cool.
So Thunder Thighs, I was like riding my bike home or something. I looked down and I had Chub Rub and I was like, well, dag. And so I just wrote it as like this silly song. Like, and I like put it out on SoundCloud like a year before it even blew up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no one listened to it. My friend Alyssa.
The whole song was made before.
Right, but then I redid it. I added like the ooh wee part, like when I rewrote it and like kind of remixed it and to put on Feminasty. But yeah, it was just like out as like a little single. And my friend Alyssa's like, this song is great. Like, why don't more people listen to it? I was like, I don't know. Like, but then it was just like a silly song. It was just kind of like a little chant I was singing to myself when I had like Chub Rub.
Yeah.
You know? And then I like redid it, like added, rewrote some of the parts and then put it on like all the channel. I mean, we made the video, me and April, because April was like we co-directed that video together.
Okay. What's April's last name so people can find
April
her?
Maxi.
Okay.
Yeah. And she runs a company called 422 Lux.
Oh, okay. So she's like a director.
She's like a director, cinematographer, editor. She does it all.
Amazing.
And so like, I like messaged her because I was living in Montreal and I was like, I want to do this video of just like about for Thunder Thighs, where it's just like a big group of people on a sunny day. And then like, she was like, came up with some of the scenarios and I like came up with some of the scenarios and like, I produced the hell out of that video. Like I went down to the fire department and I was like, you will turn on this fire hydrant at this time. I like stalked the ice cream guy and I'm like, I'm literally like waiting on the corner for the chime and then followed him. Then I found him again because he wasn't texting me back.
You're like, look, you bastard, get over
and
here.
I was like, get over here. This is the time you need to be here. Give me your number. You will be here. You will not ruin my video. And so it's just like, you know, doing all of that. So that was like really fun. I just actually was super surprised that it blew up like it did. I mean, it premiered on Jezebel, so I think that helped, like getting that, like, because they have such a good audience. It's so like in sync with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God.
You know who I loved in that video is the little girl.
Oh, Brianna.
I loved her.
She has so much energy. She's like a star. Yeah. Like, she was in my friend Max's video. And then April was like, oh yeah, you should get Brianna from Max's video. And I was like, okay.
She's just like a neighborhood kid, or like, Oh, really?
Yeah, Uncle Meg is a rapper, and he had Brianna in a video that he made like maybe a year
Brianna
prior.
Brianna is like a kid, right? Like just a random kid, or Brianna is pursuing acting or something?
Oh, I think she is a random kid, but she also kind of wants, I mean, she should be.
Yeah, she's so good.
She's great.
Her like...
Her attitude, she's like good at lip syncing. Like she can lip sync better than me, my own song. I was like, don't steal my thunder. How dare you?
I really liked, because when I was listening to it, I just thought, like, that's the little girl that's going to hear this song and then grow up and think like, yeah, fuck all you people for making me feel bad.
Exactly. No, she's fierce. Like,
she's so great.
No, she's great.
I love that song. So what do you see kind of moving forward for this year? Are you like, what can we kind of look out for?
Other than the tour, because that takes like a lot of energy.
Your tour is in November.
Yeah. Okay. So I have this cycle where I kind of like write a bunch of songs in December. And then in like the spring, I can like, I mean, and like write in like, record it and like all of that. And then in the spring and summer, I can kind of like release it. And then I go back and like write more. Mm-hmm. So I make the videos like in the spring and the summer.
Have you ever done, you make music and videos, right?
Yeah.
But I know you physically make things also with the papier-mâché and like, actually like your graphic design as well. I've always wondered, have you ever thought about doing like a gallery show?
Oh,
like
that
some
would
sort
be...
of like physical show.
I mean, that would be cool. Like I made a giant taco and that's in Rutgers, at a gallery in Rutgers right now.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
Like,
it's on loan there until the end of the year. So, I mean, the show opened in like March. It's a show about like food and art.
Cool, yeah.
And so that's cool. I never thought about, I mean, I would love to just like have, someone suggested having a bodega and like you go in and it's all like weird art that I made.
Yeah.
And it's just like all this like paper mache stuff. I mean, I'm open to everything. I'm kind of just trying to take one opportunity at a time and then also not get too excited because there's a lot of stuff that like could potentially happen, but I'm just so used to like things falling through and like, you know, changing. So I don't really get excited until it's actually like happening. Like I just had a song on Big Mouth that just came out this morning.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I knew about this for like months, but I didn't talk about it because I was like,
I assume they contact you.
Yeah, of course. At any time this could fall through. Yeah. We signed the paperwork, my agent, my manager, she was like talking to them, but I know at any time it could fall through. So I didn't want to be like, oh yeah, everyone on Facebook and Twitter, this is a potential. I don't talk about stuff until it's actually has happened.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Yeah.
It's so hard to do that when good things happen and you're just like, this is so amazing. I want to tell everyone, but then you never know what'll happen.
You never know what will fall through or will happen. And when I do that, I think it's also my need for validation, right? When I'm like having to tell people about it, it's me like, oh, I'm valid. See, Big Mouth wants me, you know? And so
you know
it's
what?
Just like,
you're right.
So like, I should just like chill on that, you know, and wait until it's real. And then we can celebrate. It's like actually a tangible celebration versus like a celebration off of something that's not real yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So people are going to hear this. And I'm thinking particularly of little girls who will hear this and think to themselves, I want to be Shanthony. How does someone become you? What's your advice?
People should become me. I think, no, don't do that. I think that like really what people want to do when they say, I want to become someone is they just want to become like they see characteristics in them, but they just want to become like a different version of themselves. So I would just say like, just really like meditate and like focus on what you want for yourself. Cause like we're such different people. Like, you know, what makes me happy won't make you happy. Like I have this like bohemian lifestyle that's sometimes a little bit unstable, like financially and stuff, you know, and like that might not be it for everyone.
Yeah.
So I just feel like just focus on what you want and what will make you the happiest and like kind of take out all the noise of what everyone else is telling you you might want and then focus on becoming that person.
And do you have any tips for listening to your own voice that way? For like really kind of burrowing in and like getting in touch?
Yeah, I would say meditation for sure. Like, because that's just that quiet time that helps you. Journaling also helps me because I'll just start journaling on one issue. And then at the end, I'm talking about something else. Sometimes you have to get rid of all the like garbage in your head first before you can get down to the root of an issue. So I would say journal, meditation, just like also being curious. Like for me, curiosity has gone so far. Like I'm always interested in like learning new things and like learning about like new music and new like it's just everything. And my friends was like, are you on TikTok?
No, okay, I'm old. What the hell is TikTok?
Everyone says that I'm old, but I'm super into TikTok. It is hilarious.
What is TikTok?
It's just like, it's kind of like the new Vine, and people make these 15 second to like 1 minute videos. And like, there's a lot of funny like memes and it's just people being really creative, but in like short bursts. And so it's just like
a platform kind of like Instagram, but it's a different thing.
Yeah. Or? It's like videos. Amazing. It's so great. And so like I've gotten, and all my friends are like, I'm old. But it's like, no, you're not old. Cause we're never too old. That's the thing. We're never too old to be curious and learn more. I think part of being old is feeling like I'm used to doing things this one way and I'm not open to seeing another path. Yeah. And like, I think for everyone, whether they're young or old, I just say, be open to like questioning your own thoughts and also being open to learning from other people and seeing what path they're going through and like what you can learn from that. Even if you don't want to go down that path, you can just like learn and make another little path.
That's perfect. That's such a great thing. Where can people find you? Where can people find your work?
The easiest way is to go on my website, misseves.com, for all of the music stuff. You can—
How do you spell that?
MISSEAVES.com. You can find all my social media, my videos, all of that. If you want to work with me from a design capacity, it's just shanthony.com. My name, shanthony.com. And the Everybody Project is theeverybodyproject.com. No hyphens or dashes.
Just no that. Longer on Tumblr.
No longer on Tumblr. Sorry. If you won't let me have my porn, then F you.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I think just follow me on Instagram. Validation. I don't need validation, but follow me on Instagram.
At Miss Eves or at?
At Yo Eves.
At Yo Eves.
Yeah.
Same thing on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it.
Radicals and Revolutionaries Lab is a product of Continuum. Find me at Jillian J. Foster on all the socials and Continuum at We Are Continuum. That's W-E, the letter R, Continuum on Twitter and Continuum Collective on Instagram. Our show is produced by Ginny Saraswati and her team at Ginny Media. Thanks to Sarah Letitia Jansen for research and production support. Want to contribute to the R&R Lab? Join the Continuum Collective. If you're not a Continuum Collective member, you're missing out on all sorts of perks like exclusive events, the gender studies course of your dreams, and bragging rights to all your podcast-loving friends to let them know that you're supporting the boundary-pushing work we do at Continuum, including this podcast right here. Go to ContinuumCollective.org to join today. That's ContinuumCollective.org. I'm Jillian Foster. Until next time, sending you power, love, and solidarity.